We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Tonight, we're going to continue in our series. We've been doing on Wednesday nights, if you're new here, we've been in a series for Wednesdays where we're teaching on the Old Testament men of faith. And we get that from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And so we left off last talking about Joshua and Rahab, but tonight we're going to move on. We're actually going to skip one of the next one or two that are referenced, and we're going to go to Samson. Samson starts in Judges chapter 13. So I'll let you turn there to Judges chapter 13. We're going to start in the first verse. Judges are the way that actually God had planned on ruling his people under the Old Testament. It was not actually through having a king, but was planned to just, he was meant to be the one leading the people. And then whenever they got, you know, off course or whatever, he would raise up a judge to bring correction to the people or deliver them, whatever the case may be. And so this is no different with Samson. And in Judges, we're going to read just the first verse of Judges chapter 13. And there's a couple chapters that we're going to skip. We're going to go from 13 to 16. There's a lot of interesting and, if I could say, strange stuff that takes place between Judges 13 and 16, but I'm going to try and pull out some of the key points on Samson tonight, and then we'll move on next week. So Judges chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, "Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years." For 40 years. You know, I just said I'm turning 31 tomorrow, so it's hard for me to imagine being taken as prisoners, an entire nation taken prisoners for 40 years. You know what I mean? That would be my life plus 9 years at this point. So if I was born into captivity and then I still had 9 more years to go and never known nothing but captivity, when you put it into perspective, sometimes you read a time frame like that in one sentence and you think, oh yeah, you know, 40 years. Well, looking back, it doesn't seem very long, but back then I'm sure it seemed like 40 years was a really long time for them to be in captivity. And you know, this is something that we see throughout the Old Testament with the history of Israel, that time and time again, they stopped serving the Lord or did evil in the sight of the Lord, and then they were delivered into the hands of their enemies or suffered some sort of catastrophe that they were never meant to experience. And so here with this verse, we have to ask, why did the Lord deliver them into the hands of the Philistines? Well, if we asked most Christians today, not anyone here tonight, but if we went based off doctrine that is in many churches today, we would probably say, well, because God enjoyed punishing them. Or maybe because God is mean. Or maybe because God is in control. This is another one that people like to say, that God is in complete control. And, you know, or God is in charge. And, you know, it's like I tell my wife every now and then, the rooster needs to show the hen who the rooster is, you know? You got to show that you're in charge, right? No, I'm just being funny. But but so, you know, people almost have this mindset of where God is, you know, he's in charge, and so he's just got to show, you know, I'm in charge, so I'm going to, you know, put something on my children so that they can learn from it. Well, they were taken captive because of what? Their own actions, right? Why were they taken captive? Their own actions. They got themselves into this mess. Now, we don't even really know exactly what those actions were. All we know is that they were evil, right? It says that they did evil in the sight of the Lord, but it doesn't even go on to say what that evil was. And what I really gather from that is that it doesn't really matter what the evil was, right? Ultimately, It was evil. Whether it was some sort of sin serving a false god, whether it was doubting the Lord and what he had told them to do, whether it was disobedience to what he had commanded them to do, in some way, shape, or form, they were not fulfilling or walking by the word that God had given them. And that was evil in the sight of the Lord, whatever it might be. It was very often that the Israelites in the Old Testament, they began to serve other false gods, and one of the enticements were I mean, if you actually read through the law that Moses had given, is there was a lot of restrictions as far as moral living. And these false gods that were in the Old Testament that foreign countries served, they were very well known to have temple prostitutes and basically just a whole bunch of sexual sins taking place. And that was enticing for the Israelites to follow because they got to go and basically live however they wanted as heathens. And, you know, we kind of see the same thing happen today sometimes in our society where, you know, people think, well, as a Christian, that means I don't get to have any fun. And so I'm just going to go out and live in the world and have some fun. And then maybe one day I'll come back and I'll get serious with the Lord. Well, that is taking years off of your life, years of blessing off of your life, because the reason that God had put those commandments in the Old Testament for them to do and not to do certain things was so that they could be blessed, so that they could avoid trouble, so that they could live a prosperous and healthy life. You know, you look at anyone that lives wildly in the world, living a lifestyle of sin, and it becomes evident after 10, 20, 30 years of living a life of sin that it takes a toll on their lives. Whether, you know, sometimes, you know, when we say things like that, you know, my mind tends to go to like, you know, big, ugly sins. But even if you go to something like gossiping or unforgiveness, if you meet someone that is full of unforgiveness and can't forgive, they're bitter people and they're just like, there's no joy in them. So it doesn't matter what the sin is, whether it's something big and ugly or whether it's, you know, something of the heart, someone that isn't serving the Lord and isn't allowing the Lord to deal with the issues in their heart, if we're not being cleansed and allowing the Lord to renew us, and walking by the word, those things that are inside of us will cause us to be, will take years off of our life. They will cause us to suffer. They'll cause us to not live a life of joy or a blessed life. Amen? So that's why it's important that we serve him. He put those rules in the Old Testament for those people. He gave them a rule book for them to follow. And now today, we don't necessarily, even though we have the Word of God, we don't need necessarily the Ten Commandments written down in stone for us because we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. So when we're doing something that we know that we shouldn't do, we have that voice, that still small voice telling us, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be talking like this. You shouldn't be spending time with these people. And, you know, we don't get a lot of people that come and ask, you know, for counseling here. And maybe, I mean, that's probably a good thing. Most people probably wouldn't like counseling with me. On a side note, I had one couple that counseled, that I counseled, and it lasted one session, and they left the church. No joke, never saw them again. And I mean, I wish I could explain, you know, it's not because basically I just told them they need to do the word, and they wanted to fight and claw and scratch to get me to allow, to alleviate their guilty conscience of them not doing the word, of them living a lifestyle of sin together and basically asking me to agree to support them. And I was like, look, it's, you know, I mean, I love you guys. There's nothing wrong between us, but like, we don't, you know, I mean, we don't go against the word. And I'm not going to say like, oh yeah, well, you guys get a free pass. And, you know, so, I mean, they were into some serious, it wasn't just like, I'm telling you, it was one of the most complicated conversations I've ever had in my life. And you know, ultimately, like, God gives us his word for our blessing so that, you know, so that when we do get married, that things are joyful, so that there's not years of entanglement and, you know, from years of history of, like, being in and out of all these different relationships and all these things that God has put in his word for us to live a moral life isn't for us to miss out on the pleasures of this world, but it's for us to be able to have a joyful and blessed and well-sustained life. So these guys, they were taken captive because of their actions. And we don't know what those evil actions were, but we do know that they were evil. And ultimately, evil will put you in a place that you don't want to be, bound and no longer in control, right? It says here that these Israelites, that they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and what happened to them? They became bound to serve under the Philistines. They were no longer free to do whatever they wanted. For 40 years, they had to do what their Philistine masters told them to do. And ultimately, today, people deal with the same thing. People, they do evil in the sight of the Lord, whatever the thing is. And look, it's not to say that if you ever sin, that you know you just have to struggle and be punished for the next 40 years. No, 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins, and God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? So it's not, but what I'm talking about is people that want to live in sin and or willfully commit sin, but then they end up bound by that sin. You see, they think that they're in control and that they can do it, whatever the thing may be, whether it's gossip, whether it's immorality, whether it's bad relationships, whether it's doubt, whatever it is, whatever way that they're not walking according to the word, they think that it's really just, you know, on them and that it's not going to affect other people. But it causes you to become bound so that you don't have control, so that you're, that sin that maybe you thought you were in control of and that you could handle and that wasn't going to spiral out of control, you know, eventually you become bound to it and it becomes your master. And so we don't want anything in control of us. We want, like Jesus said, that whom the Son sets free is free indeed, that we're not bound by anything, but we're free in the Spirit, that we can just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and not be bound by this world or bound by sin. So sometimes people sin or get in, do something evil in the sight of the Lord, and they end up bound for years because of a mistake that they made. So we need to be very careful with our lives. Now, if I give my children rules to protect them and they break them, well, what do? I discipline them. Thank you, Arnav. I give them pow-pows. Do I do this because I don't love them? I do it because I love them. Do I discipline them because I want them to suffer? No, right? I mean, the rules are given because I want to protect them, right? Because I want to train them. I want to help them. I want them to succeed in life. I'm not giving them rules because I don't want to take the joy out of life. I'm giving them rules to help them and to be a blessing to them. The discipline to make sure that they obey those rules so that they can stay under protection, right? And so God did that in His Word. He gave the Old Testament rules so that they could live blessed and prosperous lives. But now we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, leading and guiding us, telling us when we should and we shouldn't do something. And I found that generally, you know, people, if they're doing something that they know they shouldn't, they know, but a lot of times people will still ask about it. What do you think? Do you think this is okay, or this is I not, or this is not? I mean, probably if you're asking about it, it's because you're pretty sure that you're questioning it. And so I would say if you're thinking, you know, is this okay or is this not okay, you know, you probably just know right then. You don't even have to really go any further, because that's the way that the Lord leads us, is He's causing you to think about it. He's causing you to question, is this action that I'm doing in my lifestyle, is this good? And if it was just good, you would never question that. You know, I would never have to question if I walked over to Jordan and gave him $100. Was that a good thing? Man, I'm not sure if that's like a godly thing to do. That's being generous, right? If I went out and I told someone Jesus loves them, I would never have to question, I don't know if that was a good thing to do. If I went out and shared the gospel with people, right, I wouldn't question that. But that questioning comes because we're like, I'm not too sure if I should be watching this movie, you know, or if I should be listening to this song or spending time with these people. Right? So the questioning comes more than likely Most times, 9 times out of 10, maybe 9.9 times out of 10, because we probably know we're doing something we shouldn't be doing. So listen to the voice of the Lord. You know, as much as we have the Word to lead us and to guide us, we have that Holy Spirit relationship on the inside of us to tell us that is something that you need to avoid so that you don't end up in bondage for years and years and years. Like these Israelites ended up in bondage because they were doing evil. So we read the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 on Sunday, right? But real quick, I want to continue with a couple of those verses. In Deuteronomy 28 and verse 15, it says, "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." Remember, we talked about living in the place of the commanded blessing this past Sunday, where God commands his blessing on you. Because you obey his voice, because you obey his word, because you're doing what he has commanded us to do from his word and by his spirit. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be healthy, right? But his word also says, and granted, this is Old Testament, okay? So things change a little bit in the New Testament, but ultimately certain principles still are in place that if you'll do the Word, if you'll follow the Lord, if you'll follow the Holy Spirit, then you're going to live a blessed life. And if you don't, you're going to start to find that the opposite is true. A cursed life is what you'll face. Nothing that you do will prosper. Now, the enemies that you face will easily defeat you. You'll end up bound. You'll end up captive. And so this is the instruction that he was giving them then. If you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be the basket of your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. You know, in Judges, we're dealing here, we're not going to read the rest of that chapter 13, but it turned out that Samson's mother was barren. Why was she barren? Well, because evil had been done in the sight of the Lord, and the curse had taken effect over the people of Israel. The Lord protected them when they were following the Lord. But she was most likely barren because the protection of the Lord had been removed because they weren't serving him. And in verse 25, it says, "The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee before them, flee 7 ways before them, and you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth." So as much as God is for us, and then some, when we're serving him, the protection is removed when we're not serving him, when we're doing those things that we know we shouldn't be doing. And so the children of Israel were taken captive not because God wanted them taken captive, not because it was God's will that they spend 40 years bound in servitude to the Philistines, working for somebody else, not succeeding, not prospering, not living in the blessed land flowing with milk and honey, but they were serving the Philistines because of their own actions, because they disobeyed the word of the Lord, because they weren't following his commands. So it wasn't the Lord's will for his people. His will was that they would obey the word and be blessed and prospering. I say all of that because many times if we read a verse like Judges chapter 13 and verse 1 and we see that, oh, they did evil in the sight of the Lord, we almost skip over that part and we just focus on the part where it says that the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistine. The Lord didn't want to deliver them into the hands of the Philistines. If they would just would have kept serving them, serving the Lord, the Philistines never would have been able to touch them. You know, as we serve the Lord, the enemy can't touch us. As we serve the Lord and we listen to the voice of his Holy Spirit and the leading guiding of that inner man as he leads us, nothing, no attack of the enemy will ever be able to succeed. It's not to say that you won't go through a storm, but in the midst of the storm, you'll be able to speak to it and it'll calm, right? It's not to say that persecution won't come against you, but you'll come out victorious. It's not to say that financial needs won't come against you, but God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, right? So that's the will of the Lord. So we see here, we're always taking action. It's either action based on faith, rooted in the Word of God, or it's action based on doubt, which is disobedience to the Word, or not believing that the that God's Word is true, or that God's Word is not relevant for today. But our lifestyle, the life that we live, the blessings that we have, the problems that we have, are ultimately a result of our action taken on the Word of God or our inaction taken on the Word of God. And I think sometimes as people in general, we try to come up with every reason besides our own action as to why we're experiencing what we're experiencing. Well, it's the economy, or it's the government, or it's the way I grew up, or it was my parents' fault, or it was the job, my boss. You know, there's always a reason. But ultimately, as a child of God, no matter what you're facing right now, again, that's not to say that you won't come up against a hard situation where you're going to have to deal with something. But as a child of God, you'll come out on the other side. You know, if I can pick on Carol for a second, you know, for a little while last year, she was going through some hard stuff at her job. But she's a child of God. She stayed faithful. She's serving the Lord. And now there's an awesome testimony on the other side of where now everything was rectified. You see, she's a child of God. She's serving the Lord. And that's the way that things work. And we can go around the room, and for those of us that are serving the Lord, we have testimony after testimony. I want to tell of Jordan and his business, and Andy of his promotion, and Sarah getting out of the, you know, whatever you did with the military that you weren't supposed to do, that just was a complete testimony. You know, one thing after another, of all the people here that are doing one thing after another, Brandy and Tom being married, and Tom, his promotion to a new company at a better job. You know, one thing after another. Again, if we took time tonight, we could go around the room to every single one of us. Ginny, she lost her job. And then they call her back like a week later and they're like, we want you to come back, you know? So it's like one thing after another. You see, it's not that you won't face things, but as children of the Lord, we prosper. Edgar's got a job at 14 years old. You know, he's not even supposed to be like, you know, I mean, he's getting jobs better that, you know, than adults can't even get. You know, I mean, like, I'm telling you, like, if you'll serve the Lord, right? That's what the Lord has for us. Hallelujah. So we're always taking action. It's either action based in faith, according to God's word, or it's action based in doubt and fear, or not following God's word. So we can't just look at our circumstances and say, well, this was the will of the Lord for me. You know, I'm just in a dry season, or I'm just in, I'm going through the valley right now. You know, if you've been in the valley for 30 years, there's a problem, right? If you've been in the wilderness for years and years and years, you can't use that excuse anymore. You know, I heard a preacher just recently say, and I'm not naming a person, so you can't judge me for being critical of this, okay? You have no idea who I'm talking about. But there was this minister that said, the children of Israel, during their time in the wilderness, that was their time learning to trust the Lord those 40 years, you know, to learn how to depend on Him. And I thought to myself, no, it wasn't. That was 40 years spent because of their disobedience, of lack of faith, disobedience of not taking action on the Word of God that He had given them. The Lord wasn't wanting to teach them. The Lord wanted them in that good, prosperous, blessed land from day one. They weren't meant to spend one more day in the wilderness. But that sounds good, you know, if you're in the wilderness, the Lord's just teaching you. You know, the Lord's just using that time. You know, the Lord will use that time. Romans 8:28, He's able to turn all things together for our good according to those who love God and are called according to His purposes. He can use that time, but it doesn't mean that that was His will. It doesn't mean that that was His plan. His plan is always for you to be in the land that's flowing with milk and honey, the land where you have all of your needs being met, the land where there's more than enough, the land where you're happy and you're blessed and you're fruitful and blessed is the work of your hand. That's where God wants you to be. And if you're not, then it's time to reflect and look at our actions, right? And not put it off onto God and say, well, you know, this is just the season of my life. I'm in a season of sickness. I'm in a season of poverty. I'm in a season of depression. I'm in, you know, that's a load of garbage that religion has taught us to believe. God is a good God. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come to bring life and to bring it more abundantly. That's what Jesus wants. Life more abundantly. Amen? He wants you to live life more abundantly. The thief wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Whether he can get you to steal, kill, and destroy from yourself by you not walking in faith and not walking according to the Word and you self-sabotage yourself, or whether he can convince you to live in sin, or whether he can convince you to just not believe that God actually is good, or whether he can convince you that the plans that God has for you are that you'll never be able to accomplish them, that they're just too big. You know, all day I was working here, and I'm just so excited about this place, right? But as I'm working here, I just started thinking to myself, man, God is so good that He brought this place to us so easy. How much more is He going to do for this church, this ministry in the future? 4 years, and we're already here. What's there to... There's no telling where the Lord is going to take us over the next 10, 20, 30 years. Why? Because the Lord wants us, His children. The Lord wants His children blessed. Amen? It's just up to us to believe Him for it. To believe Him to do bigger. To believe Him for more. To believe Him for health. To believe Him for a good marriage. To believe Him for godly children. To believe Him that your unsaved loved ones will get saved. Believe Him for that and then take action upon that. He's looking for someone that'll take action according to the Word. And then He will bless you.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.